One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thanks for coming back to the show. I'm Ryan, that's Dave.
Hello.
And Robert's here with you on the soundboard. Woohoo! So I know this is not anything we plan on talking about, but why, when I go out, do I always get stuck behind the person who's never been outside before, just doesn't understand how a society operates at all? The reason I bring it up is when you guys got over here to my house this evening, I was eating a Subway sandwich. And how I got that Subway sandwich was by waiting maybe a half an hour behind some lady whose first, this is how I know I was fucked. The first interaction she had with the guy, the sandwich artist or whatever you call him, he said, "Welcome to Subway. What can I get started for you?" And she said, "Well, what do you have?" I was like, "Fuck!" Yeah,
it just fast forwards like 45 minutes later, lettuce and tomatoes.
Wait, what was that second part?
No, and she did that for every ingredient. Well, we have sandwiches. Well, what kind? Well, first choose a bread. What do you have?
It would be great if he just kind of like looked behind him at the giant illuminated board that literally describes exactly what she's asking and started reading it off to her.
Oh, he tried. No, he didn't try to read it off. He said, "Well, our breads are listed there and our ingredients are up there. You know, if you want to step out of line while you're deciding," I was like, "Way to go, buddy. You're moving things along." She's like, "No," she even turned around and shot the stink guy to the rest of the line. Like, "You're not going in front of me." I don't think I'm like the 85 Bears defensive line. No one's getting past me.
We need more shame. And also what we need is the thing we've talked about before when it comes to the automated checkout counter, which is we need a card that is essentially I am clear. I go through the automated checkout quickly. I'm allowed to use it. If you don't have this card,
yeah, exactly. You go through the process and get vetted.
The first time you take 15 minutes to buy three things at the automated checkout, you're suspended for a month. The second
if you take that long, you're euthanized. Yeah. Goodbye.
The second time, you're suspended for 6 months. The third time, it's a lifetime ban. It's like a DUI. You get two when you can still get your license and you're on very thin
that
ice.
That would just lead to people hanging out in front of the grocers. "Hey, man, give me a loaf of bread. Hey, you score me some bologna? Come on, man, help me out."
We need that for everything. We need that for driving. We need that for people in line at Subway. We need some kind of like human Yelp review thing that eventually your privilege of doing regular society things gets revoked or at least diminished to the point where the rule now is every time that woman comes into a Subway, she's always in the back of the line. If three people show up while she's in
you're
line.
You're writing an episode of Black Mirror right now. That's what you're doing.
A Black Mirror that would be a beautiful society.
I hate to call you out, but I think there is something like that for driving, Bobby. If only there was something for driving where you needed to have it in order to do it, and if it's taken away, you have to stop.
No,
God, that'd be utopic.
No, because here's the problem. Like, I agree that we should take away people's license for DUI. That's fine. We don't take it away for the things we should. We don't take it away for changing lanes without a turn signal. We don't take it away for those assholes who see a line of 75 cars on an on-ramp and decide to drive alongside it and then force their way in. We don't take it away for all of the stuff that if we did take it away, driving would be a breeze.
Yeah.
It's actually how you're supposed to do the on-ramp. If there's two lanes that merge, you're supposed to be a zipper, one-on-one. You take both lanes up.
Oh, no. I'm talking about somebody riding alongside and using the other lane to then just jump in where
well,
there is an entrance.
I'm really surprised that your vigilante background, that you're not the one that does like I do and kind of
never
cut over half a car lane.
We live in a fucking society, Dave.
That's why you block them.
How dare you?
No, I'm saying you block the guy coming.
Oh, you block them coming in? Oh, I absolutely do that.
Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
100%, and I will never get more satisfaction than the anger and rage I see in my rearview mirror. This is what's great about like being somebody who doesn't ever start fights and I kind of puts them down and stuff. I go around my life very happy to piss people off because like when I see the guy fuming in my rearview mirror, my wife's always like, what if he's angry? What if he comes out and tries to fight? I was like, that'll be funny too.
I like doing it in rich areas because I know that here's the thing. I do like getting out of my car and acting like a psycho in rich areas because I know they're completely unprepared for that. These people have lived their life honking and beeping at the slightest grievance.
Yeah.
You know, they're the guys where the light turns green and beep. That guy. And so I like all of a sudden getting out, being 6'1", and taking my shirt off and going, what are you going to do about it, bitch? And it's like a scared rich Asian man, like, oh, I like that. I like that. I'm like, I'm not going to do anything. I'm right. certainly not going to pull this man out of his car. But for that one quick second, I give him a little chin music, you know, show him what it's really like in the real world.
Speaking of somebody who should have had their driver's privileges taken away recently, Ryan, you just got hit this week on the freeway, didn't you?
Actually, start of this story, John and I were going, we were at the mall picking up stuff for the wedding party, you know, groomsmen gear, and we had a lot of questions. Seems simple enough, but you can't send two guys to go get a tie and suspenders on like seven questions.
No.
So we're texting him. Finally, you know what? I'm going to call him. And John's like, he might not be able to answer. He might be driving. I'm going to call him anyways. So I call him, ask him a question. He answers it. Hang up. Okay, cool. So another question. I call him again. Hey, dude, what about this? He's like, okay. Ah, shit. I just got hit. Goodbye. Quick. And I'm like, I think he said he just got hit. But
yeah.
I'm not sure.
So anyways, what happened was I was talking to Dave, hands-free, by the way, through my Bluetooth. Right. So I was talking to him, and all of a sudden I feel the entire car just shit, like just whacked into real hard. Someone was changing lanes and wasn't looking and whacked into the side of me, right? I see who it is. It's an SUV. It's heavy traffic at rush hour on the 8. It's chaos. Mm-hmm. So I start, I'm like, oh, it's going to take forever to get all the way over. And there's no left shoulder. So I start getting over. And as I'm getting over, the car that hit me pulls up beside me. I turn. We lock eyes. It's like a young, I'd guess 22-year-old chick who's looking scared as shit. She looks at me, and I motion to pull over, and she nods yes. And then as I start going, she just jets off into the traffic.
How does she do that in the heavy traffic, though?
In and out of cars. So it takes me
flipping several more vehicles along the way.
And now I don't notice because I'm meanwhile trying. I think she might have. I'm like trying to get over.
Right.
And
so I don't look in the other direction.
Yeah. I don't even notice until it's too late that she has gone forward and is now weaving in and out of lanes trying to get away. And it did occur to me for 1 second, go after her.
Right.
But I'm like, no way. She's gone. I would probably end up like following the wrong black SUV and like trailing them to their house, and the scared old Asian man from before who steps out like, oh no, I told you to leave me alone. So she was gone. And I knew it. I knew there was no chasing her. Honestly, if I had tried to get her, I probably would have like ended up clipping a car and being at fault for that.
That's one of those times that you're kicking yourself that you don't have one of those like Russian car cam things. Yeah on. And
I just found out about that. In Russia, you're required to have cameras on the front and back of your car, really for your protection, because there's so much shit that goes on out there. Have you seen all the videos?
There's
like
fraud.
Those videos are amazing.
They just jump in the middle of the street in front of cars.
There's
60% of those videos, somebody pulls a hatchet out.
Yeah, my favorite ones are the ones where the guy, like he sees that they're trying to scam him. He stops the car before they like run out in traffic. He stops the car before it comes to them. So they look kind of sideways at the car and then jump
and then
on the hood.
Lean on the, I've seen those. Yeah, amazing. Best.
Yeah, so I didn't know that those little car cams were an option. I would love that. But anyways, I knew it was going to happen, which is exactly what did happen, is that I had to wait forever for the police to get there.
Yeah.
For them to tell me, did you get the plate? No, I didn't get the plate.
Yeah.
Like, oh, why didn't you go after her? Because your department says when this happens, do not go after them. Knew you not? Yeah, we should go after them.
Yeah, but anyway. And the sad thing is, you know that's going to happen. You know it. That is the way it is. But you need it for the insurance paperwork. You need the police report. So you have to
sit there
an asshole while literally thousands of people are moving by you. You just have to sit there and be like, well, this is a horrible day already. It's about to get worse. And now I'm wasting my time.
Yeah. And then when the cop's there, so what happened? All right, so did you get the license plate? I forgot. I got the license plate. That's the thing. Like, I had to talk to three different cops. First, a motorcycle guy. He goes like, we're calling in a cruiser. I'm like, why can't you take the part? Because we're calling in the cruiser.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right. So
you can't put a clipboard on this motorcycle? What are you thinking?
Right, so then the cruiser shows up. He's like, yeah, where this happened? I'm like, right there. He's like, well, right there is technically not our jurisdiction. So we got to get a third guy out here. I'm like, God damn it.
And eventually, it's just a forest ranger.
And like each guy is like, all right, hey, did you happen to get the license plate? I'm like, all right, let's go again. But by the way, I find it weird that police departments seem to fight for who gets to arrest the person.
Yeah.
It seems weird because in any other job I have, you're always trying to push it off on someone else. But these cops are like, oh, Yeah, they're gonna get upset if we. Well, maybe that is them pushing it off.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you let them do the paperwork.
Yeah, because he made it like, oh man, they get really upset if it's like, you know, out of their jurisdiction. No, it just dawned on me.
Yeah,
it's them going, oh, thank God, I don't have to fill this out. It's some other asshole's job. Let me make this asshole sit on the side of the road and wait for a while.
Oh, that happened in the daytime. That's daytime cops.
Yeah, daytime
cops. Night cops.
Yeah, I'm not on shift right now anymore.
Oh, it was a chick that hit and ran. Okay, we got to get a female officer out here.
Oh, we got to get the hot cop. Sorry. So, by the way, I realized while I was sitting on the side of the road with this cop, how used I am to being like on the other side of the law, because the way he was like asking me questions, I was waiting for any minute for him to turn to me and say, all right, okay, put your arms behind your back.
Right.
That's how it always goes down. Like, I just thought he'd be like, all right, so she hit you. All right. Were you using your phone? No. You were, but hands free. Okay. Wearing your seatbelt? Okay. Go ahead and put your hands behind your back for me. Like, that's how it always goes.
Right.
Because I'm always like telling them what happened. Like, so the guy hit you with the pool cue? Yeah. Why? Okay. So because you owed him some money from pool? Okay. All right. And you were trying to pay him, but he hit you anyway? All right. Go ahead and put your hands behind your back. That's how it always goes down. And I was waiting for it. I didn't know what I'd done wrong.
Dude, I like to think that the chick that hit you and took off was either on her way to defuse a bomb or trying to deliver an ET to a secret location where the mothership could pick it up.
That's the thing. Is you know,
just have time to stop for your nonsense,
that's right.
All right?
I have insurance, and it's going to get fixed, and my rates are probably not going to go up. The thing is, she got away with it.
Yes.
Like she locked eyes with me, and then, yeah, she was scared in that moment, but when she got home, she got to celebrate a W. Because she ultimately got away with it. Bobby, how do I not go insane? And don't tell me about dressing like a cop. I'm not going to find this lady.
No.
Actually, Bobby was one of the cops that responded to Ryan's call for distress.
Oh, yeah, really? Well, this happened on the freeway? Okay, really.
Put your hands behind your back.
I'm really more of a sky cop, but yeah, okay, well, a few things.
Dog law.
So, a few things. One, as I suggested earlier to you, and I relayed a story that I've told on the podcast before, so I won't go too depth into it, but I heard a car crash on my block. I tracked down the guy by following the pieces of busted fender, and then I tracked him to his repair shop nearby to take pictures of the damages in case he had hit another car, but he had only hit a telephone pole, so I let him off the hook. And so I suggested to you that you start calling up some repair shops and just say, you know, because you know it's a dark-colored SUV, whatever. Yeah, my name is Bill. My daughter, I think, brought in our car there. I'm just checking. I'm out of state right now. She had a black SUV with some red. You do that.
What kind of SUV?
Yeah.
Nissan or Jeep?
I don't know. You don't know. You don't care.
Doesn't know.
It doesn't matter. And you just do that to enough repair shops, and eventually you'll find one that goes, yeah, we have some damage on this left front fender on this Nissan Murano. When are you going to come pick it up? And you go, I'll be there pretty soon. So that's one. That's a question. That's thing number one. But number two, I have something that's going to make you feel very good, which was the first story of when I ever got a hit and run.
Okay.
Now, this was a hit and run that happened to me when I was 17 years old, and I was not in the car. This is a hit into your parked car and take off. I was parked outside of a girl's house that I was very into, and I
hit a boombox and a trench coat.
Very into, if you know what I mean.
Now, you have to understand, I didn't have the type of situation where your parents bought you a car. I saved up literally my entire life to buy my first car when I was 15 years old. It was not running. I bought a 1989 Pontiac Firebird that I was in love with. Right. Looks like a Kit from Knight Rider.
Sure.
And I spent my spring break of my 15-year-old year learning how to, you know, fix cars and how to get it going. I got it started again. It was like an 80s movies montage. Like, I was in the garage. All my friends are at the beach. I'm at the garage with a wrench trying to get this thing going, reading through a Haynes manual before YouTube.
One foot in front of the other.
I get this car running. I'm so excited. It's the greatest. It's got T-tops. I'm loving life, jumping in and out, having the blast.
He got to open the garage door. His parents found him passed out in the garage with the engine running.
Every dime I ever got went right into that car. I loved this fucking car. I loved it. And I come out from this lady's house, and my car has this huge dent in the front left fender. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, the panic that goes through my brain. Now, at this point, I'm 16. I have the type of limited liability insurance coverage that's like, if you run into somebody, you don't lose your house or whatever. Your parents don't lose their house. But I don't have the type where if somebody hits you while you're parked, your insurance company is going to pay for it. It's just one of those, well, you're screwed type things. And I see this, and I'm crestfallen. I'm so sad. But I do some real quick math, and I'm parked on this kind of narrow street, and I look across the street, and the angle that this is coming in at is very clearly where this person would be backing their car out, and their rear right side of their bumper would hit the front left side of my car. And I immediately think, So I go across to that thing and I knock on the door and I go, excuse me, did you by any chance hit my car on the way out? And it was a 30 to 40 year old man who was like, no, I did not. I absolutely did not. And I look and I was like, is there anybody else living here? He's like, just my my brother and his kid. And I was like, oh, can I talk to them? And the brother comes out. He's in his maybe mid-40s or something. Hey, did you by any chance hit my car? No. Nobody hit
I'm
your
picturing
car.
Picturing 16-year-old Bobby with like a fedora and a trench coat and a notepad. Yes. Like, let me ask you a few questions.
You're not too far off. And
Encyclopedia Bobby here.
Yeah. And I go, okay. And I go, you know, based on the height where it hit, it looks like it's maybe a truck bumper. Do either of you guys have a truck? And he's like, no, we don't have a truck. And I was like, you said your son was here. What about him? And he's like, he's not here right now, but no, he doesn't have a truck. He's like, what does he drive? And he goes, an Isuzu Trooper. And I was like, well, okay, nice. I'll count SUV as truck. How about we go with that? And he's like, no, I didn't hit you. And I was like, okay.
Too late, you said truck.
Just fine, okay. And then he starts looking. He goes, by the way, you're not allowed to park there. You shouldn't have parked there. So if you call the cops, you know, they're going to be mad at you for parking there. And I was like, I don't think that's how cops work.
No, yeah.
And I was like, so this is a hit and run, just so you know. I just want to tell you in case you want to tell your
son. Quick question.
Son.
Were you not allowed to park there, or were they just trying to
I think
you
you're not supposed to park there because it's a narrow street.
It's really small potatoes when it comes to a felony.
Right, yeah.
No, absolutely. But yeah. Are they grasping the straws?
I think he probably had a point that you probably shouldn't park there, but it wasn't like, I think it's like a community rule, one of those like built communities as opposed to like a red curb, you know? And so I was like, okay, interesting. Well, I think I'm going to call the cops anyway. I ended up calling the cops. They actually never showed up. I sat there waiting like an asshole for 3 hours outside while I'm sure they were just chuckling inside.
That's because the family rerouted the phone lines to go to their house. They answered, pretend to be the cops. They're like, king of pranks.
I'm incredibly frustrated. I come back to go see her a little bit later, and I notice the Isuzu Trooper is in the driveway. I go up. I check out the right rear bumper. It is got a little dent, and it's got some black paint from my Firebird, where he has clearly hit me. I measure the height just to make sure it's the exact same height as where the dent is on my car. I call up the cops again. I was like, hey, you remember how you didn't come? Just so you know, I found the car. And they're like, all right, well, you got...
it was some action. I'm going. Yeah. I'm going.
Yeah. And they're like, that's not really proof. And I was like, no, like my paint is on his bumper. And they're like, yeah, but that could be anybody's paint. And I was like... Well, I mean, but it's mine. He hit my car, and his bumper's exactly where he hit my fender. And they're like, yeah, we're not coming out. And I felt so frustrated.
Avoiding paperwork.
I know. Yeah. I felt so frustrated because, like...
That's truck law.
Yeah.
You called the sedan cops.
Ryan, you mentioned how frustrating it is when somebody does that, and they go off, and then you'll never know who they are. They've gone off into the ether, and now who knows? This, to me, was even more frustrating because I know who it is. I see this person across the street. They fucked me over. I'm 17, 16 years old. I have no power. I can't do anything about this. I am so frustrated. And so I was like, finally, I was like, well, fuck it. If the cops aren't going to do anything about it, these people are being super cocky about the fact that they hit my car and, you know, go fuck yourself about it. Well, then I'm going to do something to them. And so
and a vigilante justice was born.
Absolutely. Well, so
you're supposed to make me feel better. You got revenge.
Yes. Well, I'm going to make you feel better because something bad happened to this person who performed the hit and run.
But you got to cause it, right?
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Okay, that doesn't make you feel better.
That should make you feel better. It's
no,
justice.
It does not.
It's justice.
No, but I don't get to do that to this person. You get that's why I'm upset, right?
I understand that, but you should feel good that some of these people got justice done to them. Some
no,
of the
no,
perpetrators.
That's just like, oh, I know something bad happened to you and you couldn't rectify it. I'm going to make you feel better. That didn't happen to me. I got even.
When he said he had something that was going to make you feel better, I thought he was going to be like, I caught the girl who did it. I tracked her down and I found her.
I thought, no, a story of karma would be nice, not vengeance, because you got, just go ahead.
Anyway, so we went back in the night, me and my buddies. We took all the lug nuts off of his right rear tire, because that was the one closest to the one that hit my car, so we figured that was justice. And then I decided...
Poetic.
Yeah, and then I decided it'd be really funny to get super glue and metal adhesive Bondo. And I used that. I had cut out a steel cap around the size of the interior diameter of your gas filler nozzle, covered that thing, coated it completely in the steel filler and like four tubes of super glue, put that inside the filler nozzle of his gas tank so he would never be able to gas up his truck again. And so first the wheel comes off and then he can't gas it up. And I felt so fucking good. It felt so fucking good.
Did they not put two and two together?
Oh, we still had sideways glances the whole time. I mean, I almost wanted to. I'd prepared this long speech where, like, if they ever asked me about it, I'd be like, you know, you shouldn't park your truck there. You know, if you call the cops, they're probably just going to get mad at you for parking your truck there where it deserves to have the wheel taken off.
You should have just had lug nuts. You know, that would have been my plan.
Have you guys thought of putting lug nuts on that truck? Dave, have you ever gotten into, like, a hit-and-run situation?
maybe a couple years ago, I was cruising down C Street downtown. I was headed home.
Right.
You know, it's a 3-lane road going near downtown. It's like 35 mile an hour speed limit. I'm cruising in the far right lane. I'm driving. And I just feel this bump. And I look over and this black SUV just drifted over and hit me.
Right.
Like not hard, but like bumped into me while we're driving. So I'm like, whoa, whoa, what the fuck? So I pull over and he pulls over like behind me. We're at a traffic light now.
Yeah.
And I get out and I walk over to his car. It's a big black dude.
Right.
And he's on his cell phone. So he starts to put the window down. He's just like talking to somebody. And like he got distracted and drifted and hit me. So I was just like that.
And didn't end the call. He just
No, he kept going.
That's
so I was fucking
that's
furious.
Fantastic.
I was like, are you I started yelling at him, are you fucking serious? You're on the fucking phone right now. Get your insurance on, motherfucker. What the sorry. He starts laughing and rolls the window up. So I reach for the door handle to open it. He's got the door locked because he's not stupid.
Yeah.
I'm holding on to the handle. He starts to take off. And for like half a block, I'm like running alongside the car, holding on to the handle. And I'm literally calculating in my head, like, I can reach up and grab this luggage rack and hang on. Or I can maybe get my pocket knife out of my pocket and smash his window.
Ooh, I like that.
Or I can let go. And I let go because he started going pretty fast. So I let go. And now a couple other cars stopped, like, hey, what happened? Did he just carjack you? And hindsight, I should have said yes.
Yeah.
Because people would have gone
after
him.
And you didn't get the license plate either?
No.
How?
No, I actually, no, I did. I did.
Oh, okay.
But so I'm kind of in a panic, not a panic, but I'm like kind of like in shock right now. Like, holy shit, what just happened? This guy just took off talking to these people. Like, no, he didn't. He just hit and ran, whatever. So like it took me a little too long, but after a few seconds, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to find this guy. So I hopped in my car. I blow through the red light. I go chasing him through this neighborhood of Golden Hill, small neighborhood, but a lot of turns, a lot of places he could have gone. And there's freeway access right there. So I go like 8 blocks before I just give up, but I see a cop. I'm like, hey, I flag the cop down. I'm like, dude, some guy just hit me.
Put your hands behind your back.
Exactly. See this mark on my car right here? Some dude just drifted and hit me and then took off. I got his license plate number and everything. And the cop, he's sitting in his car and he does one of these. He kind of says, he's like, well, today's kind of my Friday. So I mean, I can take a report from you, but it's not going to get processed for a couple days. And you can call back and check and, you know. And I was just like, oh, you got to be
I
got to
be honest with you, I am checked out right now. So
that's exactly what he said. Incredibly frustrating.
That's insane. It would be great if as you came up, you're like, officer, officer, this guy just hit me. And the cop's on his phone. 1 second. Hold on.
He's talking to the guy.
He's honest, he's talking to the guy. He's like, yeah, he's here right now. He's here right now.
That's great. No, I may have been hasty when I said it was my first hit and run. I had the equivalent of a hit and run when I was 16, new driver, and some guy rear-ended me at a light. And so I, you know, your first accident when you're 16, I was still scared shitless to even be on the road. You know, I was one of those kids like, okay, all right, what driver's head say? I was a fucking dork, dude. I'll be honest with you. I was like, okay, then turn over at the first safest spot. Okay, remember, ask him for his insurance and information. So anyway, I pull over and all of a sudden, speaking of black guy, the like to up until that point, the thuggiest dude I'd ever seen steps out of the car. I mean, this guy's out of Central Casting Thug. And to, you know, nowadays, growing up Ryan Shores living in a real city, you know, that you see that all the time. But 16-year-old Ryan lived in Orange County.
Right.
I had never seen a thug outside the movies before. This was a very scary moment. He had a do-rag. A real do-rag. So anyway, he steps out this do-rag. He comes up to me. I'm surprised he pulled over because when you realize what transpired after this. But he comes up. I'm like, can I see your license and your insurance card? Because I have mine. And he goes, nah. And I'm like, oh, he's like, I ain't got my license. I ain't got a phone. Here's what I got for you. And so like, he hands me an insurance card. I'm like, okay, all right. And so I write down all the information. I'm not even processing what I'm writing down, but I'm like, I do need a phone number. And he gives me a phone number.
555.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm like, oh, okay, then we'll be in touch. So anyways, I leave. Like, there's no damage to my car. That's right. The upside. Absolutely none. I was driving like an old car, so those things were built like tanks. So anyway, I go home. I tell my dad what happened. He's like, was there damage to the car? I'm like, no, but I got all the information. He's like, so who hit you? I'm like, it was a younger black guy with a do-rag. He's like, do you think his name was Margaret Huang, you fucking moron? He calls the number. Say it's not even in service. He's like, you didn't even realize you were writing down the name Margaret Huang.
Wow.
Like, yeah, no.
That's awesome.
Anyway, I want to cover this before it gets beat to death. I mean, I know everyone's talking about the NFL protests and everything.
What's that all about?
People kneeling for the, you know. People
by the way, if you have any interest in any of the NFL protests, or even if you don't, if you want to know the best written character on TV, and I mean this in terms of the best written character on TV, go watch Ray Lewis on SportsCenter the other night. That is one of the most hilarious speeches you will ever see in your life.
Have not heard of it.
Ray Lewis, who boasted, like, these guys, they're kneeling down. I will never kneel. You'll never see me do that. And then he was at the game in London with the Jags just this past weekend, and he kneeled down with the whole team. So everybody started bagging on him, and he went on SportsCenter and gave this huge rant. He's like, no, I didn't take a knee. I took two knees. I was down on both my knees because I was praying to God. And
oh,
it was hilarious.
That's
it
ridiculous.
Is. I mean, first of all, in Ray Lewis, you're talking about a guy who literally stabbed two human beings to death in front of a whole group of people and got away with it.
He was standing when he did it, though.
Yeah.
He was standing
upright. That's true. He was not on one knee. You're talking about a murderer who gets pissed off that other people are kneeling down, then does it with them, then says he did not do it. It is one of the best comic theaters in all of sports.
See,
right
that's
now.
The thing. I don't care what side you're on. And you know what? I do understand the people that are against it because they think it's disrespecting the troops, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to get into that because, I mean, whatever side you're on, and I understand both sides. However, I think it's hilarious some of the people that are coming out against kneeling have on their rap sheets.
Right, like know? Stabbing two people
like
to death.
Stabbing. My favorite has to be Mr. None other than Steven Seagal himself.
Oh, that was amazing, dude.
So Steven Seagal, as in been a washout since 1994, Steven Seagal, have to edit out his sandwich from his martial arts sequence, Steven Seagal. This guy, I'm not sure if you know this, but has a very long storied history of sexual harassment and even assault accusations, not just from random women. These aren't fans.
Right.
His employees.
Yeah. Apparently he had like sex slaves for a while that he imported from some other country.
Well, I know the one where I don't know if what the outcome of the case was, but a massage therapist. I'm not talking about like a rub and tug lady. I'm talking about like a legit masseuse who he hired to be his personal masseuse, like in his like compound. She was continually thwarting his sexual advances. He'd just like come out nude in like a kimono, like,
yeah.
What do you think of this? You know, and so it just happened so much that he like, after like the third time, she said, I'm not going to have sex with you. I'm not interested. He fired her because that's legal.
Yeah, dude. He's got a lot of that in his background, including some what appear to be some forcible sexual encounters. And listen, he is what he is. He's kind of a joke. You know, there's a whole thing about the idea that he was actually made a star on a bet that a producer who was taking one of his martial arts classes in like the 80s had told his friend, I can make anybody, I could make the least personable idiot in this room a star. And the idea was, I can even make Steven Seagal a movie star. And that was how Steven Seagal
almost
got his first
role.
Yeah, that's how he got his first role. And
he lost.
But for all that, he is 6'4", and he is a 300 now pound man or so. If you are that size, you can like really intimidate the shit out of the 95 pound woman who's working for you.
Well, here's the thing about Seagal, though. The fact that he's a garbage person aside, let's assume that he's not a horrible fucking human being.
Okay.
He said that taking a knee is un-American.
Yeah.
From Russia.
Right.
Where he is a Russian citizen.
Yeah.
What's the actual fuck?
Yeah. Not because he has like a Russian background. He just like really, really loves oppressive strongmen and oligarchs.
Yeah.
Like that's it. It's not like he comes from Russia.
Like the fact that he's a bad person, that just makes it even more hilarious. But just,
let me get this straight. So the masseuse is over there. They don't have a choice.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
Yeah, he's a huge fan. He says,
I'll be right there.
He said Putin is one of the greatest leaders in world history. He is such a caricature of himself. And the funny thing is when you realize he got his fame, not only apparently, this is the rumor is that it was a bet that this producer could make the least personable person on earth a star. He's also a product of the late 80s, early 90s, before the UFC came around and we knew what real martial arts were, because he's an Aikido guy.
Right.
And let me just say this. I have a belt in Aikido. I trained in Aikido. It's got
a white belt, but go ahead.
Yeah, right? It's got some uses. There's some grappling that you can do with Aikido. There's some wrist movements. Approximately 74 to 82% of Aikido is complete bullshit. Complete and total bullshit. Watch an Aikido demonstration. You'll see a bunch of guys running at an old man who just kind of touches them and makes them flip in a weird way.
Dude, I was I was going to college back in Michigan in the early 90s at a place where they had Aikido as an option.
Yeah.
I signed up for it.
Right.
Because I was that age and I'd seen all the movies. Yep. And I'm like, this is badass. I took it for one semester. I'm like, oh, this is like dancing.
Yeah.
Your partner has to move a certain way when you do this.
Right.
Okay, thanks. Goodbye.
I got the greatest Aikido story ever. In college, I had to take stage combat as part of my theater degree.
Okay.
Right? And I forget the professor's name, but he was a tiny ex-hippie gray-haired man.
Mm-hmm.
For stage combat, he comes out dressed in a gi. I don't mean a gi like you and I are used to seeing. One of those ones with the big flowing legs.
Oh yeah.
The wedding dress geese?
The wedding dress geese. That's like, I'm like, is this guy a monk? Is that what he's telling us? But like one of those super impractical for combat geese. So anyways, he goes, and keep in mind, I was actively fighting amateur then.
Yeah.
I was actively taking jiu-jitsu then. And so anyway, he's like, all right, who would like to come up and try to bend my arm? And he puts up his arm in an L shape like I'm doing now. And
you're like, Americana, Kimura? What am I going to go for here?
Right. So anyways, the first like four people come up and try, and they can't do it because, you know, they're not trained in any martial art. So they're just like tugging on it like, you know, like they're like hanging on a rod or a rafter. And so anyways, I raise my hand. And so I go up and I immediately twist the wrist and put him in a Russian arm bar.
Right.
And he's like, wait. You can't use two hands. I'm like, well, you didn't say that in the first place. You have to just use one hand. I'm like, all right. So then I twist the wrist. I use my chest to push into his elbow and put him back in the Russian arm bar. I'm like, you saw it coming that time. He's like, wait. You can only go from this angle. And then he does another stipulation. And by the third stipulation, I'm like, yeah, I can't do it. He's like, aha!
Yeah.
I have shown you all. I'm like, yeah, but you sit down.
Hold on. Your name must not be Ryan. Yeah, well, it is. So it's got some uses. It's got some limited uses. You can actually use some of it in jiu-jitsu because there are wrist locks and wrist holds above blue belt in jiu-jitsu. So you can actually use some of the stuff groundwork-wise, but so much of it is complete horseshit.
Yeah.
And your average person with 2 years of Muay Thai and you know, a couple classes of jiu-jitsu would beat the fuck out of Steven Seagal.
Well, here's the thing with Aikido as well. If it only works in a street situation where they don't know you know Aikido, and then they put their weight on you in any capacity,
right,
and then you use that weight against them.
Yeah.
But like, if you were to tell me I'm going to fight an Aikido guy, I'm going to just not put any weight on him.
Yeah.
I'm like, because that's the only thing they have is to transfer weight.
Well, that and technically, if you are a martial artist, you are not using those kind of push, very brute maneuvers. You would be punching and striking in a way that balances your weight that wouldn't allow them to use it against you in the first place.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Aikido would also work in a street fight if right before the fight began, you yelled out, I call only one hand.
Yeah.
And he's like, no,
you got to come
it.
In this angle.
He called one hand.
All right, now when you come at me with that knife, I want you to keep your elbow straight and do little motions like this here.
So the funny thing about Steven Seagal is he is talentless. He is a shitty actor, a horrible human being. He is not very personable, not charismatic
at all.
Borderline
rapist.
Yeah, sexual assault, all this stuff. And the only thing he is known for, the only thing he is like, the thing that puts him up, the thing that makes him somebody we talk about is his martial arts stature, which is almost completely fake.
Yes.
Almost completely fake.
I kind of think that Steven Seagal like worships anyone who is even a little bit of a fan of his.
Right.
I think that all Putin had to say was, Mr. Seagal, we're all a very big fan of Under Siege. And he's like, I think you're the greatest leader there's
ever. Yeah, right?
I can tell him, I'm like, hey, man, I loved On Deadly Ground. I think you're the greatest comedian that's ever lived. Not so crazy about the sequel, though. I think you're a retard that needs to leave me alone.
Yeah.
Dude, he was a cop somewhere.
Yes,
here,
New
right?
Orleans. Yeah. Yes.
So I bet Putin probably hit him up like, hey, you want to join the KGB? Come on over here. I'll put you in charge.
Yeah, as long as he's in a position of authority, since he's not starring in movies anymore. Yeah, I just want to be, I want to tell people to put their hands behind the back.
It would be great if, because for a while they follow him around in a cops-like show. I don't even know if it was New Orleans, but it's in Louisiana someplace. I think it was surrounding New Orleans. And it'd be great if he showed up to a sexual assault scene. Uh-huh. He was like, so what happened? He held me down and forcibly sexually assaulted me. Yeah? So, I don't know, were you leading him on or...
So he's like, you mean like this?
Yeah.
Oh, what if when I got my hit and run, Steven Seagal showed up as the cop? He gets out of the car. I'm like, oh, fuck. So what exactly happened here? Anyway, Dave, you mentioned you were getting the stuff for my wedding. It's getting down to the wire.
Yeah.
You know what? The thing is, I am very much looking forward to getting this over with. You know, I love Erin so much. I think it's going to be a great ceremony. And, you know, she's made it very easy. I mean, God bless her. She's taking the lion's share of the planning on. But, yeah, I've heard that, like, most, I'll call them normal people, get, like, the wedding blues after their wedding, because like they spend
normal people, Bobby.
Yeah,
that is bullshit. You're so jubilant. It feels like it feels like when you were a kid and
it
you had
like I took an $11,000 dump.
Yeah. Well, no, you know what it feels like? Remember when you were a kid and you had some big project like for school that was due, and if you were
like taking the lug nuts off the car across the street.
And if you were like me, you waited till way too late to do it. You waited till like 2 days before this like 8 month project was done. Like you had this big thing and it was just looming over your head, and it took so much time, and you put so much fucking work into it, and then all of a sudden, the day after, you suddenly have all this free time that you don't know what to do with.
Yeah,
that's what it's like.
Yeah,
when
but you had all that free time too because you weren't doing dick for 8 months.
Oh, by the way, just to tag on to that, I remember this one time where I'd put something off for so long, and all of a sudden, the night of, I was like trying to get it done. It was like 2 a.m. I was in my room. It was like eighth grade. I was like crying, like I just so much work. Huh? I didn't think it'd be this much work. Oh my God, I'll never finish in time. And then like, as I was going through my little school planner, I realized it wasn't due till next Monday. And there was a great moment of relief. And I went right to bed and went, oh, thank God. And then I waited a whole other week again.
Of course, absolutely.
You waited until the exact time that you had noticed it in your planner the night before.
It cut to me like fucking 1 week later at Sunday night. It's so much work. This time I knew it'd be that much work. I don't know. Anyway, so yes, I'm sorry. Going back to it, it feels like it's all over with. But I've heard of a lot of people with their wedding, it's because they spend a year planning.
Yeah.
It's all this buildup for this perfect day. Now, I'm getting married by the Grim Reaper in Vegas.
Yep.
And there's going to be a zombie Elvis walking around for pictures at the reception. So I'm different from these people I'm talking about.
Right.
I understand that.
I'm actually surprised you know that many normal people that you could formulate that.
I've read articles. This is more of like a Yahoo News type thing I have. But anyways, they spend all this time, and the big thing is they have this big, amazing day that they've spent $40,000 on.
You're
with
right.
White doves and all the shit, and it's all about them, and people are crying because them, and then the next day they wake up and it's over.
Yeah.
It's probably how I feel every November 1st when Halloween's over. That's probably, I get some serious blues when I wake up on November 1st. My birthday's only 2 weeks away. I'm like, fuck it. It's just, I'm the furthest spot from the next Halloween.
Dude, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be so much fun. I'm divorced, but I still, my wedding day was like one of my best days of my life. It was amazing. Like all my friends were there. It was a good time. The only thing that I would tell you, and you probably heard this from other people, is you're not going to eat.
Yes.
Like all the food you've been spending
That's
all this
true.
Time testing and ordering and planning out, you're not going to eat.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree. Because if I don't eat, I can't drink. And no one stops Ryan Shores from drinking. No one. So anyways, the thing, though, is I'm getting a lot of the typical wedding questions now. Because it's, what is it, like a week from Saturday?
Right.
I'm getting the,
Let me guess. So when are you having kids?
Oh. Bobby, your fucking wife does not put up with that shit.
Right.
Does
oh,
she?
No. She calls people out. It's so funny. She's like, she got super mad the first time anybody asked that about us. Like, hey, when are you guys having kids? Long before we had a kid. And she's like, that's so rude. That's so whatever. Now, I grew up in a Catholic area. I grew up in a Catholic family with a bunch of Catholic people around me. And to boot, everybody around me was Mexican Catholics.
Oh, okay.
It was weird if somebody had made it to 14 and weren't asked when they were having a child. Like,
right.
To me, I was like, what do you mean? Why is that weird? Why is that offensive? She's like, I can't believe it. They're just invading our space. That's so mean and offensive. I was like, I just thought that's what people say. I don't know what you mean.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the weirdest thing about the when you're having babies thing,
yeah.
First of all, it's the how far removed you can be for this person where they feel comfortable to ask that.
Right.
Like, you know, you're my coworker, Susan. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to bang my wife next without a condom. Like, so, like, there's, like, the whole thing. Like, it's very smug. Like, yeah. When you're having babies, I get to know. Secondly, do they realize how many people can't have kids?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's not like a little bit of a painful thing. That's not like an inconvenience. That's like a, when you find out, and I've been through it, it's like a sit down, cry, and figure out how all your plans aren't the same as you pictured them, right, kind of moment. And so that all of a sudden, fucking Susan in accounting's going, when you having babies?
Have you thought of, when are you having / or possibly stealing from a nursery a baby?
Right, right. I think I'm just going to start making it awkward, because right now when people say, when you having babies, and me and Aaron have a stepdaughter, and we're probably not going to have any kids of our own. And, you know, the thing is, I think from now on, I'm just going to start break down crying like, I'm sterile. Oh, God, I'm a failure.
I would love you to go the other direction. If a woman says, when are you having babies? Be like, ooh, I'm ready right now. You want to go on back? Let's pump one out.
Oh, if it's a dude, I'm going to try and hug him and cry on him. Oh, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make them regret asking me that.
Well, here's the, you could make them regret. Here's another way to do that. You can get way too graphic. You can be like, well, I mean, Susan, if you're really interested, and I guess you are because you've asked, one of the problems is I don't so much shoot as I do dribble out. And so as you could imagine, my semen just kind of falls out of my wife's vagina. Here, let me give you a couple of drawings that might help you understand what's going on.
I've got a rubber glove and a series of toothpastes here for a real hands-on demonstration. No. So I get that one. When
but
you
like you said, like some people can't have kids, but also some people don't want to have kids. Like,
right.
Kids aren't always a blessing.
Like,
right.
Trust me.
Like, I want to, like to me, the equivalent of that would be like if I saw someone who's like just married, I was like, oh, how long you think this is going to last? Like, that's the same kind of question.
You know, one of our good friends, John Groobs, and his girlfriend Tara got engaged.
Yes.
And what I saw.
Congrats, guys.
Very much congrats. We're all.
I already congratulated you off the air.
We were thrilled to be a part of that, me and Dave. Bobby wasn't invited. No one likes him. he gets engaged. They've been together 10 years.
Yep.
It's a great thing. He waited and they waited till it was right. And
finally,
of a sudden,
he gets to have sex. Good for him.
well, not yet.
Slow down.
Not yet.
Yeah.
You know, soon.
Yeah, yeah. But I just mean eventually. It's
eventually,
in the future.
It's gonna happen. Yeah. You know, I'm really pulling for him. Yeah. So I noticed that on his like Facebook and Instagram walls when they announced their engagement, which is supposed to be a very happy thing, 90%. Finally, about damn time.
Oh, God.
Do you not understand that's fucking rude?
That's just as bad as the kids thing.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I think it's a little bit worse because instead of, oh, congratulations, I'm happy for you.
Right.
Oh, good, John's a great guy. Yeah. It's like insinuating, he hesitated about how much he loved you.
Right.
Oh, he waited too long. He fucking dragged his feet. Now you're just going to like call him out?
Yeah.
He did what you were all waiting for him to do.
Yeah.
Are you not
good enough for me? Because it didn't happen on my timeline. You do your relationship the way I want you to do it.
Yeah, and also, let's not forget that if he had proposed after the first year, wow, that was fast.
Right.
Things were moved pretty fast. Whoa. Well, I hope you're sure. Oh,
would
you waited too long.
Now.
Whoa, finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's the sweet spot, people? Like, what is on your time? Actually, I think it might be mine. I proposed after 3 years.
There you go. That's a good time.
That's a good time for me. So I didn't have to deal with all the like, well, see about time.
I just hope that I get to do a set at the wedding. Like, that's all. Stage
absolutely
you know?
Not. I actually, me and Aaron are being very sure to tell everyone. We got this out there early and often. Like, we're doing the speeches at the fucking beginning before everyone's wasted. I've seen the worst wedding speeches because of alcohol.
Yeah.
And our crew likes to drink.
Oh, yeah.
And so, we're like, all right, you know, sign up now. It was actually Aaron's idea. She's like, I'm not dealing with any of you fucking assholes fucking going up there slurring your speeches.
Do you think somebody is going to try and do a set at your wedding? Do you think somebody's going to try and pull it off like, there's an audience here, you know?
I am not. It wouldn't shock me if they tried, but if you're invited and a comic, there's a good chance you listen to the show. Let me just tell you right now, no.
Yeah, don't
and
do it.
Don't make me embarrass you when you ask.
If you do, don't go into your regular material. You better have some specially written stuff for this.
Dude, we all know, you and I know, how much Shores hates the idea of a comic performing on their birthday.
Yep.
Like, I really wanted to book him at a club without him knowing for the wedding. Just
oh,
like,
wouldn't
hey,
that be great?
Performance.
We're going to stop by on the way in. Well, so I had something funny happen to me over the week. I had a corporate gig at Qualcomm, and it was through Ruben H. Fleet, and I went to go do it, and it was a trivia night / comedy night thing, and it was really fun. We had a blast. But when I went there, I started talking to all the people who worked at Qualcomm, and they're all engineers, right? They're all, like, very much – indoor kids is the best way to put it. And I'm having a blast.
That's a very nice way to put it.
I'm having a blast hanging out with them, but when I'm like, when I'm talking about it, they're like, "So wait, so what? You do this comedy thing? What else do you do?" And I was like, "Oh, I do archaeology." We talked about everything. They're like, "Wow, your job is awesome. What you do is great." And I'm looking, I'm at Qualcomm in this gorgeous campus, in this beautiful like cafeteria activity events room. That's, they're paying a lot of money to have Ruben H. Fleet come bring me out and do this. By the way, I don't get a lot of that money. That all goes to the Fleet. But they're paying a lot of money for their people to be entertained and have trivia nights. They have the most amazing food spread out. This isn't even like their lunch, which they get for free. This is an additional social event they have after work that the company is paying for with this gigantic, amazing food spread. And I looked at it, I was like, I like your job. Like, your job is awesome.
Like, as a comic, looking at that spread, you're looking at that going like, you're being presented for free with what I get paid sometimes.
Exactly. Like, if this was a crappy gig, like, this would be the best I could possibly hope for in terms of recompense for actually coming
and
out here and performing.
It's just here for you as, like, a side thing.
You guys don't even
care. You're not even utilizing it. Like, you know, you realize that other people in my profession would have a tweed jacket on, putting shrimp into the jacket pocket, no baggie, and they'd be yelling about, no one's going to eat all this.
You literally got dinner and a show. Your work took you out on a date.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't think of it that way. But yes, every time you do a corporate gig, that's them like being taken on a date and being shown appreciation. Like, people don't understand. When a comic gets something nice at a show, they take a picture of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because have you ever seen a good
bottled water? Ooh, fancy.
Every time I play the Ice House, I take a picture of the snacks they leave us in the green room. Yeah. Like, they gave me nuts and cheese. A feast for the senses. A feast for the senses.
Speaking of gigs coming up, guys, I have big news. We are bringing back the Kumite, Damian Mercado and myself. Dave, you are actually...
I am a Kumite champ.
Dave, second. You won the second Kumite, second round of Kumite. Now, the way Kumite worked is every night had a champion. We voted for three people. They'd be the top three, and one would be the champion per night. And then at the end...
It was 8 weeks long, right?
So yeah, 7 weeks, and then I think...
So it was eight champions of
I think
nights,
there's then... seven champions, and then the last week is the okay. finals. And in the finals, you would have all of the top three people, sometimes they overlapped, of each week come together, so all the people who got the top three votes, and they would compete to see who was the overall champion. So Dave won. Not only was he obviously one of the champions for one of the nights, he won the overall championships.
The grand champion.
There's only three grand champions in Kumite history. Dave is one of them. I believe that was the one where we gave out a WWE-style wrestling
it
belt.
It is like a legit wrestling belt, like polished brass.
Oh, yeah, we got plates made. We got engraved plates.
What does it say on it? You had it made.
I believe it says Kumite Deathmatch, and then the word Deathmatch
is crossed off.
And it says stand-up comedy contest.
Yeah, as if the Kumite had just evolved.
Because,
into some...
Yeah, right. Because for those of you guys who know the Kumite from Bloodsport, of course, with Jean-Claude Van Damme, it was a fight to the death, essentially, or a international martial arts tournament where you fought sometimes to the death every other person until one man was left standing. And so most people don't know that slowly evolved through organic means from a deathmatch martial arts contest into a stand-up comedy open mic contest.
Dave won the belt when I wasn't competing.
Right.
You know you're just Daniel Cormier holding John Jones's belt. You know it. No one respects you.
Go take your PEDs. Yeah.
What is that, pot? Like, what's comedian PEDs?
You only won that belt because I was too drunk to come to the competition. You know it, and I know it, and everyone knows it.
But we are very excited. We're bringing it back. Now, one of the things, I've talked to Dave about this before. I love that show. It was so much fun. We got to have a bunch of fun with a lot of the comedians. But one of the problems was, because of our location, and they're great, it was at the Ken Club. They're fantastic for letting us do it there. They always gave us a lot of leeway. We love them to death. There just wasn't enough foot traffic. So, like, sometimes there'd be four non-comedians in the audience. Occasionally there'd be 40, but that was pretty rare. And it was more often the 4 to 10 people.
Way to sell it.
Yeah, well, that's the way it was. And so we didn't want to bring it back. Everybody was asking us, but when are you bringing it back for the fourth round? And we really wanted to.
Nobody was asking.
Well, okay, well, Damien asked me a few times. We really wanted to, but the problem was
asking something else.
We thought it was unfair to the comedians to be like, come on out, come do this time, because there's no non-comedian audience. And so we have spent the last 2 years looking for a good substitute venue where they would have a lot of foot traffic. They would have a lot of people, but they'd still let us do this wild, crazy stuff like giveaway. We gave Vince D'Amico, who is another Kumite all-time champion, he got a samurai sword that was engraved.
He uses it to get macaroni and cheese at the top shelf
right
now.
So we give away a lot of crazy stuff. Sometimes the show is pretty blue. It's a kind of wild show. And so we were looking for that mixture of the type of place that would have a whole shitload of people but still also allow us to do what we wanted. And eventually we finally have found that. So it's going to be at Bar Pink. The opening one is going to be October 14th. Sign-ups at 7:30. Show will be at 8:00. and it's going to be an open mic style show. If you've got a reserve spot, that's a 5-minute spot. If not, if you come in for at 7:30 and sign up and you get pulled out of the hat, that's a 3-minute spot. And again, the top three winners will go on to do something. And then this Kumite will be a little different because at the end of every Kumite, we're going to do an alternate final bit. One of those will be a lightning round. If you guys have ever done Winston's lightning round, Dave, have you ever done that one?
I was actually king of the lightning round for almost a year.
We're going to do that because
didn't compete.
Yeah. Well, because then that means that every comedian who shows up essentially will at least get a little bit of mic time on there. So we'll do things like the lightning round. We're going to do a fun mug at the end of some of the other ones. We're going to do a lot of different stuff. So
fun mug.
You've never done fun mug?
What the fuck's a fun mug?
You get two guys who go up on stage. You have a mug that's filled with different topics. You pull it out, and it's an improv activity. Only this is going to be a tap in and tap out fun mug, which is as soon as the audience doesn't like you or doesn't think you're performing, we do a freeze. We put a different comedian up there with that guy. And then we pull out a new topic. So we're going to have a really good time. Come on out. It's going to be Saturdays at Bar Pink. Sign-ups at 7:30. And make sure to get there early for parking. This first one on the 14th is going to be a packed show because there's a North Park Festival that day. So we're expecting minimum 50 to 70 non-comedians just milling about that bar. Come on out. Sign up. Have some fun. It's going to be a good one.
And I've done my last show before I go on my wedding and honeymoon. But when I come back, we have a bunch of gigs scheduled, not only in California, but some other states too. Me, Dave, me, Bobby. So we'll announce those when I get back from my honeymoon. So until then, we've pre-recorded some episodes for you. I hope you enjoy them, but I will be incommunicado for a while. So see you in a few weeks. It's Cruising with the Twos.
I call only one hand.
Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time's passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.
I think you're a retard that needs to leave me alone.